Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The daily prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations, void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day/evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed with the aforementioned information to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, if postmarked by May 3rd, 2018. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on May 14th, 2018. Winner may be notified by telephone after May 21st, 2018. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/silentdrive2018, and thank you.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogring, and our guest today is one of the reasons for KBOO's existence, a voice that you don't hear on the mainstream media, and that is Ray McGovern, who is a retired CIA analyst, and for that, an Army intelligence officer, and he's been writing a lot about the new Cold War and various other things going on. So, Ray McGovern, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Yes, we're very glad to have you. Like I said, the voices like yours are the reason for KBOO. This is the first day of our spring membership drive, so we're going to knock off a little bit early to do our pitching near the end. So, lately you've been writing about the war in Syria. One very interesting thing there, the thing that leaps out at me is that, Syria is accused of gas warfare, nerve agent warfare, and is being punished for it while the investigation is still going on.
Yeah, actually, it was punished for it before there was any investigation, and the event, as far as I can tell, did never happen. As usual with these false flag attacks, sometimes they happen, but sometimes they're perpetrated by someone else. This time, there's some doubt as to whether a gas attack actually happened, but the president was hell-bent on honoring his pledge to defeat Russian as well as Syrian defenses there in Syria, and so he would not be restrained, not even by the saner voices like the Defense Secretary James Mattis. So we had a retaliation, in quotes, once again, for something that either didn't happen or was misattributed to Bashar al-Assad, who, of course, next to Vladimir Putin, is the devil incarnate.
How did he get to be like that? I mean, when he first took over after his father died, he was considered kind of a reformist sort of person. Actually, he'd been an eye doctor in England until he became president of Syria.
That's right. He was a reluctant heir to the throne. I think he had an elder brother, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. In any case, he rose to the occasion, so to speak, And what happened, of course, was the Arab Spring, and you had the kinds of demonstrations that broke out in Syria, partly because of famine there, partly because of unrest. In any case, these were very quickly exploited, as a reason to overthrow him, to get him out of the way, or at least to cause the kind of bedlam in Syria that can benefit our so-called ally, Israel. You see, Per, it's really, really difficult to explain to people who ask me, hey, Ray, what's our strategic interest in Israel? I mean, not in Israel, but in Syria. I mean, give me a break. Syria's not threatening us in any way, and it's really not threatening anybody else, so why are we there? Well, there's a one-word answer to that, and that's the country of Israel. Now, you don't have to believe me on this. Believe senior Israeli officials who, in a moment of unusual candor, confided to the chief of the Jerusalem Bureau of the New York Times their reasons, their reasoning, and their preferred outcome in Syria. Now, this goes back to late August, early September 2013, after that celebrated gas attack in Ghouta outside of Damascus. And what happened was, of course, John Kerry got on the TV and said it was Bashar al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad. He said it, count them, 35 times. Now, you don't have to be a Shakespearean scholar to the old, you know, he thinks he doth protest too much. Well, he did protest too much, because that same week, that is, a few days later, and we know this from President Obama telling his sort of biographer, a fellow named Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic. During the 2013.
Hey Ray, you're not coming in very well on your phone.
Oh, okay. Is this better now?
That's better. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, during that critical week at the end of 2013, James Clapper, the head of my national intelligence, came to me unannounced, and he sat down and he said, "Now, President Obama, I don't know quite how to say this because I have great respect for the Secretary of State Kerry, but how shall I say this about who we think did that silent attack outside of Damascus?" Well, you know, the case that the government did it, well, let me put it this way. It's not a slam dunk, Mr. President. You get my drift? It's not a slam dunk. Now, again, where do I know this from? Well, it was President Obama telling Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic. Now, he of The Atlantic magazine, he was very, very happy that he withstood all the pressure that Trump has succumbed to in attacking Syria, not once, but twice, with no evidence the Syrian government was the perpetrator of whatever happened in Idlib province a year ago, and now outside Damascus in Douma now. So what I'm saying here is that when the bureau chief of the New York Times, her name was Jody Ruderman, and she was sort of new, to her credit, and she said, you know, I really ought to find out what the Israelis think of all this. And so she sought out some very senior Israeli officials, including the previous consul general in New York. And she said, now, what's your preferred outcome? And they said, and this is a quote, and it made it to the New York Times. Well, our preferred outcome, Jody, is no outcome. You see, this is a quote. This is a playoff situation. You need both teams to lose, but at least you don't want one to win. We'll settle for a tie, said Alan Pincus, Israel Consul General in New York. Let them both bleed. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're skipping again. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me get to a better place here. I'm fleeing from the team that arrived a little early. How's this? Better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. So here's Alon Pinkas saying to Jody Ruderman, bureau chief, New York Times in Jerusalem, this is a playoff situation in which you don't want either team to win. Mm-hmm. We'll settle for a tie. Let them both bleed to death. That's the strategic thinking here. As long as this occurs, there is no real threat from Israel, end quote. Now, this was the Labor Day weekend, and somehow this article snuck through and appeared as the major article on the front page, the lead article on the front page, New York Times. You can look it up, September 6, 2013. It's the only time.
Whoops.
Truth. So what do we have here? We have a situation where Israel would like to have chaos in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a threat to Israel. And on the ground, of course, if there's chaos there, it's very difficult for Iran or anyone else to ship weaponry through Syria to Lebanon, for example, where Hezbollah is. And so for the last 7 years, we have been cultivating, quote, moderate rebels, end quote. So has Saudi Arabia, and so have other Arab countries who are Sunni and don't like the Shia. And so we've had bedlam there with, so people are saying, 400,000 Syrians dead, and no end in sight. The last thing I'll say here is that with each of these so-called gas attacks, the one on August 21, 2013, the one on April 4 last year, and the one on April 7 this year, Syria was winning. They had dislodged the rebels from key positions they had occupied for years before. And in each case, one had to scratch his head or her head to say, well, what benefit, cui bono, what benefit would Bashar al-Assad think he might have by killing a bunch of civilians just when he's on the cusp of victory, mm-hmm. which is where he is right now? So it doesn't force. It's a false flag attack. That means, of course, you attribute it to Bashar al-Assad. You shoot 100 missiles into his country, and somehow you seem, according to the pundits here, presidential. Last year, when he fired those 59 Tomahawk missiles, cruise missiles into Syria, the commentators were saying, ah, finally, the president is acting presidential.
Wow. Well, he said mission accomplished, just like George Bush did, and I'm wondering how Donald Trump would look in a flight suit.
Now, that's a vision, isn't it? You know, the way I figure it, he really has a very short-term memory, because if he doesn't remember how embarrassing it turned out to be, mm-hmm. just 15 years ago, I think it was May 1st, 2003, if he doesn't remember that banner on the USS Abraham Lincoln and how it was far from over, how 4,500 U.S. troops had to die, and how, well, the estimates are really, really squishy, but they're up in the hundreds of thousands for Iraqis, both military and civilian. So if he has no historical memory of 15 years ago, he's really clay in the hands of people like John Bolton, who is certifiably crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always thought that, Donald Trump really acts crazy, but I would think some of the Washington establishment are just crazy in a different way.
Well, you know, you have a point there, and I don't know if you saw the article I wrote a couple of weeks ago where I took a note that I had from the first George Bush, George H.W. Bush. He and I were friends, actually, after he left being the president and I left the agency. I had briefed him every other morning for 4 years in the agency. And I served directly when he was head of the CIA. So we had a nice relationship. So when it appeared that George W. Bush with Dick Cheney were going to start a war for which we saw no cogent reason and from which we thought the effects would be catastrophic, I got in touch with George H.W. Bush. And what I said in my note, and this was the 11th of January, 2003, was, Mr. President, you remember how you were successful in keeping people like Wolfowitz and Pearl and Cheney and those folks at arm's length. You didn't let them really screw up your policy. Please tell your son why you did that. Why we all call them crazies, okay? And then maybe he will be, maybe he could avoid this terrible war. Now, he wrote back, 11 days later on the 22nd, and he said, Ray, I too, and other people, had thought that maybe, quote, the crazies, end quote, this is a handwritten note, okay? The crazies had a hold on my son, but I'm very proud of my son, and that wasn't true, and he's just fine. 2 months later, the crazies put George Bush, Dick Cheney, up to launching what Nuremberg called a war of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And that just brought bedlam not only to Iraq, but to the rest of the Middle East as well.
You know, the other day, Robert Fisk wrote an article, and he said that he talked to a doctor in this town in Syria that had been, you know, that had been recently liberated,
and
Duma, and yeah. According to Fisk, the doctor said that there was no gas attack. He said there had been a regular bombing, which, you know, is bad enough, but this is bombing that had raised a lot of dust, so that his makeshift hospital had people coming in with problems breathing and stuff like that, but it was just from the dust and everything, and he was treating them. All of a sudden, these white helmet guys came running in screaming, gas, 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 and they started hosing people.
Yeah.
And they had they had a TV crew right there filming all this stuff or recording it.
Yeah, it was as though they were prepared, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's according to Fisk. Although Fisk,
there's another Western correspondent who was there on the scene and talked to many other people that he approached, people that approached him, and he had this story. Yeah, it smells to high, you know. The UN body that's supposed to be looking into all this, the Prohibition Against Chemical Weapons Group, they're supposed to be on the scene now, and we'll see what they find out. But the propaganda outlets in this country are already saying, the Russians and the Syrians have had time to there in Ghouta.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't realize is that Western newspapers and media depend solely on what they call social media. We all know what that is. Okay, now, John Kerry, when he was explaining how terrible Bashar al-Assad was at using sarin gas against people outside of Damascus, this is almost 5 years ago, he said, now you have to realize that social media is an extraordinarily useful tool, his words. Okay, well, he got that right. It's an extraordinarily useful tool. Tool for what? Tool for deceiving people?
Mm-hmm.
A tool for showing what's happened? Now, it has to be said that it's notoriously unreliable in terms of at verifying things like this, particularly when you know the cameras have already been set up, the faucets have been on for the water, and you have people being, quote, treated. So what is this social media? Well, the white helmets, who were sort of glorified in some film, won an Academy Award, if memory serves, they were all paid by the British and by us and by others who are Assad government. So they have zero credibility. And since there's no one on the scene except people like Fisk, who finally got there, Western narrative is all what the United States, what Israel, and what Saudi Arabia, of course, want to hear. So if Americans think they're getting the straight scoop, real story on what's going on in Syria, they're sadly misled.
You know, there's another case where, you know, the verdict has been shouted out and the punishment and everything while the investigation still goes on, and that's the case of Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, who are victims of some kind of attack in England.
Yeah, you know, the British are famous for doing this kind of thing. It's far from clear what happened. What is abundantly clear is that before there was any proof, like hours after the incident, Theresa May, the Prime Minister, and what's his name, Boris Johnson, the Foreign Secretary, were charging the Russians and the Russians. Yeah, the Russians on this one. Now, how could they have known that before they even looked at the chemical that they say was used? Mm-hmm. They couldn't have known that. Now, this is an interesting story because I have a very good friend. His name is Ambassador Craig Murray. He's a UK ambassador, formerly to Uzbekistan, and quit the Foreign Office when they insisted on receiving the proceeds of our torturing. Anyhow, Craig is very close to the situation there and has incredibly good ties with the Foreign Office still, his old colleague, and also with Porton Down, which is the chemical weapons facility, the laboratory, really, that evaluates chemical weaponry and so forth. So, well, why all this? Well, what he learned is that in the very early days of this so-called Russian poisoning, they looked at the chemical used, and they had 2 days of discussions between the Foreign Office and the 10 Downing Street and these technical specialists. The technical specialists said, "We can't verify that this is from Russia." Well, you have to. We already said it is. Now, to their credit, they said, no. What we know about this chemical is that many decades ago, the Russians developed it, but we don't know that they ever produced any. It's very simple to produce. 20 countries could do it. It could be done in a university lab. So we won't say that it's from Russia because we can't say it is. We're not sure. And so the government said, oh, no, we have to say something. And so they crafted a phrase. And the phrase that was duly agreed to by both sides, the government and the specialists, was this chemical was of a sort developed by Russia.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Of a sort developed by Russia, okay? Now, they couldn't go on and say, and we know that Russia manufactured it, and this was the kind of thing they... So, they kept saying this, and Craig Murray wrote this wonderful little piece explaining it all. And at the end, he said, you know, Ray, I had a hard day. I think I'm going to go have a vodka developed by Russia, but manufactured here in Britain.
Well, you know, speaking of ambassadors, just today in the Asia Times, as retired Indian ambassador M.K. Bhadra Kumar wrote an article. Apparently, it's not Novichok agent at all. It's some kind of chemical that was developed in the USA.
Well, here we go.
It's in the Asia Times today. Look it up.
It won't be in the New York Times, I guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting near the end of our abbreviated segment. We have our membership drive. I have to do a little pitching in a minute. But now you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, raymcgovern.com. And thanks for asking, because my son, who is my webmaster, gets very angry if I don't mention it. Mm-hmm. All my articles and speeches and some of my interviews go up on there. And if you tune in within the next 20 minutes, or your listeners do, you'll see a new article which talks about something that happened yesterday that probably you don't know anything about. Did you know that Hillary Clinton, James Comey, James McCabe, Loretta Lynch, and Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page, and the two others from the highest levels of the Department of Justice, that criminal referrals have been made to the Department of Justice?
Wow.
For possible crimes?
Okay.
Did you know that?
Well, we heard it now, and we're going to have to end there on that note. Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Ray McGovern, who's been a retired CIA intelligence analyst and one of the founders of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. So thank you much, Ray McGovern.
Okay, good luck with your fundraising.
Okay, and now let's go to Membership Central.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO, and KBOO is radio made by you for all of us. I'm John Schuck here with Ani Haynes, and this program you just heard, Fight the Empire, is so important. What was the phrase? I'm going to remember. You won't read about this in the New York Times. KBOO has hosts and guests and perspectives that you'd simply are banned in many respects from mainstream media. And having Ray McGovern and Per Fogering on KBOO is an important thing, and why we need to keep KBOO on the air and why your contribution is so important. In fact, you can double the impact of your donation right now without any extra money. A donor has made a generous offer to match the next $100 in donations called in during Fight the Empire. So make that call right now, 877-500-KBOO. Your donation up to for the next $100 will be matched. That number again is 877-500-5266.
That's right.
There.
Oh, no.
Keep no, we got. Well, let's keep this party going. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Have your gift matched up to $100 during Fight the Empire within the next few minutes by calling us right now. And any donation that you make will be marvelous. If you give a $25 a month donation, you'll get a very handsome KBOO hoodie to wear around and support and to advertise your support for free media, corporate, free radio on KBOO.FM.
Well, it's free. Am I in the air?
You are, Per.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is
you
John
know,
Schuck.
It's free in one sense. It's free in the sense that we are beholden to nobody, but it is not free in the sense that we do have to pay bills. We're not free of that kind of business. And so that's why we come to you. We are beholden to you out there in Radio Land. You are our sponsors. You are our reason for being. And you actually, you can become KBOO members, and you become KBOO people by just coming down here and learning all about radio. This is radio that you can do yourself. A little bit of training and practice and everything, and the desire, and that's what KBOO is all about. It's just people like you and me and everybody else who put this stuff on the air. It can be done, and you can help do it. So start out by calling, what's that number again?
877. Are you on?
877-500-5266. That's right.
877-500-KBOO. And now that we're in the digital age, you can also go online and contribute at KBOO.FM. But you need to do it within the next couple of minutes and get and help us reach this match of $100 for Fight the Empire. So call in right now with your gift.
The thing I love.
Hey, talk on mic. Come on over. Let's share a microphone. That's the and we'll get right here.
Yeah, the thing I love about Thursday mornings is iconoclastic radio, right? When we get to hear Press Watch and we get to hear Fight the Empire, we know that we are listening to folks who are really digging deep to bring you information that is spiked, that is buried, that is deliberately left off of the mainstream corporate-owned news agenda, because you you know, their interest is all about keeping the status quo status. And here we like to rock the boat. And that's why Pear is bringing you voices like Ray McGovern. That is why Teresa brings you Press Watch with her analysis and her sort of in-your-face commentary. This is radio made by you, for the people, by the people. And we're asking you to join us right now at 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. This is radio made by you. And we want to thank the contributor who has put up $100 to match the first $100 in to fight the empire. We are looking to raise $500 in the next few minutes. And it is done with each and every person calling 877-500-5266.
We would like to give special thanks to our community partner who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Brunch Box, located at 620 Southwest 9th Avenue. Brunch Box serves breakfast and burgers all day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. with delivery available. Lunch was provided by Ate O Ate, located 2454 East Burnside Street in Portland. Ate O Ate is a counter-service Hawaiian restaurant serving plate lunches, poke and shaved ice, and cocktails. And dinner was provided by Dean Nicholas, located 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland. Dean Nicholas has been serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society April Concert. On Friday, April 20th, the award-winning original roots music group Kathy Boyd and Phoenix Rising will be coming to the Portland Folk Music Society concert stage at 2901 Southeast Steel Street. Doors at 7.